Okay, welcome to Global Storytime. My name is Megan and I've earned my seat. We are the monthly speaker meeting for ICSA, which is the International Convention of Secular AA. We'll start with our convention. We will be holding our in-person convention in 2024. We did pick a site. We will be in Orlando coming up. We do not have dates yet, as far as I am aware of, but yay, in-person convention. We also have a digital convention coming up. Jeb will be here shortly, and he will have more information for us on that. Do we have any other announcements from the floor?
Good day, all. This is Will A.M. The board members are here, including Margarita and myself. I think Dale is here, I see, and probably others that were just on small screens. To Megan's point, we have this monthly meeting that we do. We have the two conferences coming up, and we have a website that has all been just redone with all our latest, greatest information, from minutes to recordings. We're going to put a link into the chat also to, as per our seventh tradition, we have expenses, especially with these conferences coming up. And so if you'd like to contribute to Secular AA, there'll be a link put in the chat to our support page. So please look for that. Joe, because I'm driving, if you wouldn't mind, that would be awesome. He's got two thumbs up. Okay, that's it from Highway 8 in Arizona. Thanks for being here, folks.
Our speaker for next month, by the way, is the, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, the Lafayette Women's Meeting. No, Marcia, I'm not.
That was a very cute attempt, though. Our speaker, our selected group for next month is going to be coming to us from LA. They are the Las Files, women's and non-binary group. Yeah, they're quite a unique group. They are one of the only women and non-binary group that are out there. So so they will be our featured group for next month. So hope you'll come on out and join us, and that will be on May the 7th. Thank you.
Thanks, Marcia. On to what you came here to hear. Our meeting, our group this month, is the Share What Works For You meeting, which I've been to a couple of times and is absolutely phenomenal. I am going to hand it over to Jessie so she can tell you more about it.
Hello, everyone. Hi, my name is Jessie, and I don't want to drink today, which is one of the things that is said a lot in our meeting, because that is what we say, and that's one of the things that drew me to this group. So I'm here on behalf of the Share What Works For You group. We are a group out of Altadena, California, and I'm not an original member, but I do believe that it started as an online meeting. And if somebody could give me the thumbs up that is actually what it was. Yep, that's what I thought. I looked straight to Tommy for that one because I was pretty sure that's what it was. So this has been on online format out of Altadena, California for the pandemic, and has stayed that way. And there are members from all over the globe. For some reason, it starts at 6:30 in the morning Pacific time, even though it started out of California. But this group is really focused on the principles of AA and the steps rather than the religious aspects of it. And we really do share what works for us. And that is our motto. The home group seems to be pretty variable. It just seems to grow. And we meet Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, and then pick your time zone for anything in between or around. And then also Friday nights at 6:30 Pacific, 6:30 Pacific as well. So come and join us. And I am going to introduce some of our lovely speakers here today. I honestly am not sure who is supposed to speak first. So I am going to actually introduce Tommy first, as one of the people I remember as an original member. And he is going to take some time to talk about his story. And we'll save kind of any questions, I think, until the end. Megan, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to introduce Tommy and take it away, Tommy.
Thank you so much for the lovely introduction, Jesse. And thank you for emceeing this thing. And thank you guys for hosting it. My name is Tommy. I'm an alcoholic. And I also don't want to drink today. Okay, I'll time myself then so I don't ramble on too much. But my sobriety date is February 22nd of 2018. With the help of a lot of the people in this room and in other rooms, I just celebrated 5 years the end of February, about a month ago. And Share What Works has become a big part of that process over the last 3 years or so. I was lucky enough to meet the quote-unquote founding members, my sponsor Christopher and our friend John, traditional home group, which is also local here. I'm from Altadena, California, which was also local here. And that's where I met them and a lot of other people that were integral to the early part of my recovery. And when our home group kind of split it off into different factions, as happened sometimes, they had the foresight to set up this Share What Works group online. Had the pleasure of being involved with it from the onset and early on and watching it grow. And one of my favorite things about our group in particular is that every single meeting we have newcomers. Well, from people who it's their very first meeting on up to, 30, 60, 90 days, whatever. But we get new people all the time, and we get people that hear about it from, from you guys here in the secular community at large. And, a lot of them tend to stick around. We've come from being a group of maybe 15 or 20 people starting off. It's not uncommon for us to have, 45, 50 people some mornings. And a lot of them tend to stick around and come to, if they don't, stick around our meeting for the long term, I hope they stick around at other meetings and find their tribe. And some of them do, hang around and our fellowship grows. And that's what it's about. It's about growing the fellowship and each of us trying to help the next person. So as I said, I just celebrated 5 years. This is not my first time around the rooms. I've been in and out of the rooms since about 2000. It's a little bit longer than that. But about the last 20 years or so, during which time I was mostly in traditional AA. Been to a couple of different rehabs here in Southern California, in and out of sober livings. And during that time, I've managed to put together a couple years, 2 years a couple of times, 3 years once or twice. I think I got 2 or close to 4 years once. And so I've been sober more often than I've been loaded over the last 20 years, but it's never stuck around. It's never stuck this long. And I think one of the reasons I think that is because previously I'm a big proponent of the steps coming from traditional AA. But I've always tried to work the steps like I was trying to take a test at school or something, like I had to pass it and get a grade on it. I was looking to my sponsor to say, give me a little gold star on my fourth step and pat on the back and attaboy, and trying to get, completed as it was something that I needed to be over and done with so that I can move on to the next one. Rather than this time around, I've taken a completely different approach to it and tried to look at it more as a more all encompassing and just trying to really work on integrating the principles and the traditions and the values behind the steps into my life. What got me sober this time was I had been sober for 3 years and some change previous to this, working in a rehab as a cook, working a second job in a restaurant at night, living in a sober living, as I hear happens to a lot of people. I kind of took my job in the rehab as my sobriety community. I stopped going to meetings. I wasn't really working with a sponsor at the time. And, I figured, I'm around newcomers and sober people all day long at work. And I kind of substituted that for my meetings and for my program. Lo and behold, I started fucking up at work and yelling at. It turns out that counselors and rehabs, when you're working as a cook, they don't like it if they come into your kitchen, you tell them to get the fuck out of your kitchen, or you're going to rip their head off and shit down their fucking neck because you're fucking busy right now. They take a dim view of that. And so I was kindly asked to leave that position. My room and board was kind of tied to that as part of my compensation for working there. So in quick succession, I found myself not able to afford sober living, getting stressed out, not having any kind of program. Started, drinking in my room, going out to bars after work, drinking at our restaurant after work. And in very quick succession, I went from, having a place to stay and two jobs to, sleeping in a tent in Pomona, to walking off, you know, walking into a job on Saturday, walking off the job Saturday night, and just not coming back that Sunday or for the next several Sundays after that, you know, about 2 or 3 months worth of Sundays, and ended up going from Pasadena to sleeping in my car in Compton, hanging out with people that I had no business hanging out with, getting myself in situations that I knew better than to get into, but just so stuck up, so caught up in the cycle of, you know, drinking and using that I didn't really see a problem with it. And my drinking ended up here in East Pasadena, sleeping in a parking garage on the floor with the cops looking to arrest me and people out on the street looking to beat my ass behind the situations I put myself in behind drinking. And it took me getting to that point again before I was willing to ask for help. I ended up going back to the same rehab I had been working at previously and asking for help. And thankfully, like, since I had a relationship with them and I was able to finally get cold enough and tired enough on the streets to ask for help, they allowed me to go through rehab there and completed that program. When I got sober this time in 2018, here in California anyways, they had just legalized recreational marijuana. So like the dispensaries had just opened up for business here when I got sober, like that January. And so my intention all through rehab and into sober living after that was like, I'm just trying to get myself well again. I'm trying to get to a place where I'm, you know, I can get my job back, get my feet back under me. And I had drinking is my problem. I mean, I don't have a problem with smoking weed and it's legal now. So I had every intention of going back out and smoking weed. But of course, as part of the process of going through rehab, I had to go to meetings and get a sponsor and do the little packets and whatnot they have you do there. So I stayed sober long enough to go through that and through their sober living. And when I timed out of their sober living, I found a place up here in Altadena that happened to be right next to a church where they hold meetings at. And that ended up being my home group, the 185 out of Altadena here, where I met Christopher and John, Lila, and a lot of people in Shareable Works now. I've kind of drifted apart from traditional AA a lot and trying to steer my focus more towards secular. But I have to give credit where credit is due. And it was that group where I met people who are still to this day, you know, core to my sobriety team. And day two were like at 6:15 in the morning meeting. So, you know, stumbling out of bed with a cup of coffee and walking next door and having people shake my hand and smile and hug me and, you know, just seeing that joy and laughter went a long way towards helping me want to stay sober, which in turn helped me want to find a sponsor and work the steps in a more thorough way. And that kind of led me to where I am today. But I'm, you know, I've kind of drifted apart for that a long time. Even through the pandemic, that was my home group. And I've kind of drifted apart from them now, but I'm always going to have a special place in my heart for them because, you know, they taught me how to want to be sober and how to have some fun and some joy and some laughter and sobriety. And that's another thing I like about our group, about Share What Works. We have, you know, like Jesse said, we meet 4 times a week now. We generally stick around after the meeting to talk to newcomers and just kind of chew the fat. And we set up a separate Zoom coffee link where a lot of us on mornings that we don't have meetings will get together and just, you know, have a cup of coffee together and talk about whatever. And that's the core thing that's kept me sober is the fellowship. You know, the steps and the principles and values behind them are important to me because they've given me a structured way to live and to try to become the person that you know, that I want to be. My benchmark of where I'm at, you know, morally and as a man is my mom passed away a number of years ago, but I credit her and my aunt was instilling me when I was very young. Like, you know, right now I'm sitting with my elbows on the table. That would be a no-no, but don't put your elbows on the table. Yes, please. No, thank you. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. And all those core things that they instilled in me, you know, some morals and some respect for other people. And so that's my benchmark today is, you know, my mom's passed away, but am I the kind of person that she'll be proud to call her son today? And that's when I start to stray, like traditionally they'll talk a lot about staying and I know this is secular, so forgive me for using the G word, but they'll talk about staying in God's will And like, I've always had a problem with that. That's what drew me to secular, is because I don't know what that is. I don't think anybody can really claim to know what that is. But I know when I'm flipping people off in traffic, or being rude to my boss, or talking back to my elders, God forbid, or putting my freaking elbows on a table, or wearing a hat while I'm eating. These are things that my mom would cause my mom to be like, what are you doing there? So that's how I know to stay in line. I have always had that sense of moral center. Like, I've had friends joke with me, and I'll end it up soon, so I won't take too much time away from the we have some other lovely ladies about to speak. But even throughout my drinking and using, I had people joke that I was, I don't know if these words ever came out of my mouth, but I had the sentiment of like, pardon me, sir, would you please pass the crack pipe? Thank you. So even all throughout my using, I never lost that. I was just trying to get it back. And what I'm doing for my recovery today is I go to, on a given week, 5 meetings a week, you know, anywhere from like 4 or 5 to 7 meetings a week. I like my morning meetings because it's a way for me to get up out of bed and get started. And no matter how the rest of the day goes from there, I'm like, okay, I try to get off on a good foot, and I put a good start to it. And that usually puts me in a better frame of mind to kind of go forth into the day to work or whatever I got going on, with at least that kind of swirling around my head. Like, okay, you know, I started the day off sober and talking to other people. I recently, and a couple other people that have joined me in it are in this room right now, trying to start a secular step study, because that's one thing that I do find is kind of lacking our meeting and lacking in my recovery personally, is a better understanding of the steps and how I can work them in a more secular way that's more approachable to more people. Because I find the language of the big book, like a lot of people, to be kind of off-putting at times. I love the message of it without liking the language of it too much, I guess, best way to put it. So trying to look into some other secular literature and look at the steps in a different way. I'm currently without sponsees, really. I'm starting to work with one gentleman, but I'm open to sponsoring people. And I think that's the best way that I can repractice my steps. I'm going back through the steps with somebody else right now as well, out of the 12 and 12, and trying to do through this secular book we're reading. And it's trying to keep the steps fresh and trying to keep recovery and sobriety a priority in my mind, and not letting it get stale like it has in the past. Because that's always been the problem, is like, I get tired of going to meetings. I get tired of talking to people. I get tired of working the steps and working with a sponsor. And I start thinking that all the stuff I have in my life today, the money in the bank account, the car out here on the street, the roof over my head, you know, the food on my stomach, all these good things, material things that I have, I start thinking that I got them, that I did that. And I did. I put the work in for it, but it was learning how to be responsible enough to earn those things. And I learned that responsibility through the practice of the steps and through you know, working with people. And I'm just so grateful for the circle of friends and people that I have in my life. And Zoom has totally opened that up. Like, Lil and I would have never met, you know, her being in New York and me being in LA, but through the magic of Zoom and the power of the program we have. And I could say that for Kathleen and Jesse and a number of other people in our group. And for all you guys who are hosting this meeting, you know, it's opened it up to really being a global community to me. I've had the pleasure of going online to meetings in Ireland and Australia and, you know, France and all over the country here. And it truly is a global fellowship. And I'm lucky to have that and also have the people who are physically close to me that are very important to me as well. So I feel like I'm rambling, and I'll end it there. But I'm just very grateful that you guys have hosted us and allow me the opportunity to share for a little bit. And I'm looking forward to hearing what the other ladies have to say. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you so much, Tommy. It's always wonderful to hear you speak. According to my grandmother, it's okay to have your elbows on the table if you're not eating. Not during dinner or lunch or anything. It's, you have to stop eating. So normally in our group, we actually do this thing called tag style, and we have the person who just spoke pick the next person to speak. So just to give you a little taste of what that's like in our meeting, and also, you know, newcomers, that gives them a little bit more of a incentive to speak, but they don't have to pick. They can always throw it back at me. So Tommy can throw this back at me, but I'm going to say, hey, Tommy, Do you want to pick the next person to speak? You only have two people to choose from, so please choose either Kathleen or Lil. I'll put some restraints on it.
Since we're being hosted by a group from Canada, let's go to our Canadian friend, Kathleen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tommy, for picking me, and thank you, Jesse, and thank you, everybody, for doing this. This is pretty cool. I phoned Marsha this morning. I thought, what are we supposed to share about? Or what, a bit confused and kind of hoping to back out at the last minute, like I always want to do, but I didn't. And thank you. Now I get to meet the famous Josie. Like, you're pretty famous. The Beyond Belief and the book. Didn't you write a book? Or I don't know, lots of podcasts. And anyway, here I am. I'll say a little bit of my experience, strength, and hope. I'm Kathleen. I'm an alcoholic. I've been with the Share What Works for You group since May of last year. And so my story is different, and everybody's story is different in these rooms. And that's what I like. It was a year ago at this time that I quit traditional AA. So just to back up a little bit, I was always in traditional AA. And a year ago, I listened to this talk by this Krishnamurti guy. And then also, kind of listening to other people and philosophers. And I read a book called This Life, and it was There Is No God. And I thought, well, you already always kind of knew that, Kathleen. But I had started AA and traditional AA, and I didn't know what the hell a higher power was. And I didn't like all the G talk and everything like that, but I stayed in. And well, because when you're that desperate, you stay. Yeah, I was that desperate. So my story starts at I came from a long line of alcoholics. I knew that my grandfather was an alcoholic, and my mother would he would come visit us all the way from Quebec all the way to Alberta, and he'd have his booze in the car, and she hated him, and there was huge fights, and he drove all the way back to Quebec, leaving my grandmother there. And I should time myself too, because I talk a lot too. So my story was that I was never going to be an alcoholic because it was in the genes and all that. So I better be careful. And so I was always going to control my drinking. But I grew up on an Air Force base, and I mean, there was drinking, that was the whole kind of culture of that place. Anyway, this is weird. I'm finally looking at the gallery. I have to think I'm talking to people. Anyway. So I was always going to be careful. Everybody's story, like 13 years old, blackout drinking, just to be in the cool group, and then going to nursing school, and then getting married and having kids. And thank God, I'm really grateful that I never, that I was able to stop drinking when I was pregnant, I'm really grateful for that. But after the kids were born, off I went smoking and drinking again. But I always, would talk to my doctor, and how much is enough okay drinking? Or I could be a moderate drinker, I could control it. It just went on and on like that until I suppose it was the kids, like when you're raising kids and they're going everywhere, you can't be drunk driving. But so when they were kind of, when I didn't have to drive them around so much, I was so grateful that I could just drink in my, drink my Friday night drinking and my Dateline and my bag of chips. And, I was working as a nurse and stressful, and there was no way I could not drink, like I had that doctor so-and-so and that nurse that I, how was I going to cope without drinking? I couldn't see a life without alcohol. And then it just got worse. But I was always saying, I can control it. There would be times where it worried me, but nobody ever complained to me because I was very secretive. That's the other thing I was. I was a real secret little drinker. I would drink, politely out in public, and then I'd come home, and that's when I'd have all that. It just got worse and worse. And so finally, I ended up going to AA. And the first AA meeting I went to was like, what a bunch of weirdos, and I don't belong here. You know, it was terrible. I was, you know, and so then I started going to NA, and even they didn't drink. And then, cause I went on a camping trip with them, and I thought, how can I go camping and set up a tent without drinking? But somehow I did it. And anyway, life was just getting really frickin' horrible and bad. You know, it was blackout drinking and what do they say in the big book? You know, the depths of despair or whatever, the depravity or whatever you get into. And so finally I started going, and my first sponsor, I just spent 10 months just telling her I was an alcoholic. Finally, she just said to me, just go out and drink then. You know, I was driving her crazy, but I did finally get into, you know, it's funny, but I'm in Victoria and our group is Akron, and one of the Akron and one of my American friends has said, Kathleen, it's not Akron, it's Akron, but that's my home group. That's the one I walked into. And that was six and a half years ago. So my life was so bad that, you know, yeah, I lost my, you know, I couldn't work anymore. I had to go on disability. I also had severe mental illness. And so I kept telling this new sponsor, Parm, I said, but Parm, it's not really alcohol that's my big problem. It's mental illness. And she goes, you're just an alcoholic, you know? So, but she was difficult, you know, like she wasn't the soft, squishy sponsor. She was really kind of hard on me, and I felt kind of too hard. Like I wanted a little bit softer and gentler, but you know what? She taught me so much, and because she really worked her program, and even it was traditional AA or whatever, but that's one thing I forgot to say was I was in traditional AA, and after 2.5 years, I think I was just so tired of the language and I just quit. And then I ended up trying to kill myself in the hospital. You know, I was, had to go to emergency ward. So I'm there. And but somebody passed out in the hallway and they had to, so I left. And then it was then that I decided, I better get back into AA, you know, and I did. I went to more and more meetings. Yesterday was my Parm, who was my sponsor, who I fired because she just, you know, both of us, we just kind of, I don't know. Anyway, she celebrated 16 years yesterday. And she was so sick in the program. She was having seizures. She shares her story at our detox in Victoria. And I love her for it because she's helped so many people. She had seizures. She had the wet brain. She was so sick. It was unbelievable that she even survived. And yesterday she turned 16. And I congratulated her on Messenger, you know, and then she said to me, Kathleen, you are a huge part of my recovery, and I'm so grateful for you. That's what the program is, you know, like I had no idea that I had any, do you know what I mean? Like we rub off on each other and we help each other. And it doesn't matter if you have one day or how many years you have, how are you doing your program? That's what I always would look at. And she says, I've always told you from the very beginning, you don't have to have God. It's not about that. And, but you know, going to secular AA, going to the Swiffy group, going to the Share What Works For You group, I have learned my recovery has been better because this whole higher power, and that was me too. Like, you're not doing your program good enough. You need to give it to a higher power. And I would say that to people. And then I thought, that's just bullshit because, and that's what I see. Yes. Today I saw something called the constraints of religiosity, because what are you doing when you're telling people to give it to God, or you'd be going to traditional meetings, these ones that I was going to anyway, like, well, you're just not giving it to your higher power. You're not doing this and you're not. Whereas when I walked into I zoomed into the Swiffy group and I heard a person talking, and it was finally that kind of a light bulb went off. This is what I need to hear. I need to hear that you're still struggling in your alcoholism. I need to hear what you're doing to not drink. I need to hear your realness, your authenticity, not just these, oh, I'm so glad I found AA and it's great. You know, I was, so what is it about it that's great? I want to hear about you and what keeps you sober. And that's what I heard when I came into the secular meetings. You know, it was just more real, more authentic, more vulnerable. And so then I was still, you know, very sick in a lot of ways. And I didn't ever go to treatment, but what I did go to was, it was called Bridges for Women in Victoria and for women who have experienced a lot of trauma in their lives. And I thought, I'm not going to go to that. I'm a nurse. I was always taking care of everybody else, but it was me who really needed a lot of help. Like I really should have gone to a treatment center. And, you know, because all my behaviors were really, you know, through the lens of a trauma lens or whatever. You know, it was through them, you know, they told me a lot of good things to do. But one of the counselors there said to me, you know, get a picture of yourself when you were a little girl and just really tell her you love her every day. Because I was so full of shame and self-hatred and everything about the past. And then last year I did this inner bonding, you know, about, yeah, reparenting yourself and, you know, learning to really, you know, love yourself. Yesterday was not a good day. I'm not going through a really great time. Thank God I have not picked up drinking and I've, you know, but I have a sister who I thought I was really close to, has turned out to just be not the person I thought she was and has taken all my dad's money. And, you know, so my poor dad is 89. He's frail. He's elderly. He's vulnerable. That's what we get when we have these alcoholic homes. Like this is what alcohol does. It just leaves people in despair. I've wrecked my kids. You know, I know all that. And then yesterday I'm going on a journey to go and see my dad, you know, to go and see, you know, see what I can do. Can I do anything to help him at all? Or probably not, you know? And then yesterday I saw all the papers that I had for my psych history, you know, all the psychiatric notes. Why the fuck are you reading this, Kathleen? But it brought back all that shame and sadness of the years and the things I've done. And, you know, I just kind of had to pause and I had to breathe and I had to meditate a little bit. And I thought of, you know, Marsha, what you always say, where are your feet? Where are your feet? And that I'm in this moment now, you know, that I am a sober woman, that I have put a lot of stability in my life. I have a roof over my head. I have a really good job now. I have a really good job. Like I'm happy, like really supportive, wonderful people around me. I have the Swiffy people. They've taught me, you know, to be myself and to learn to connect with people because I wasn't very good at that at all, you know? And, you know, still, you know, I went to the secular 12-step AA group and I'm a pain. I know I can be a real bitch and get into controlling and if things aren't going my way, but I'm learning as I rub off. People tell me, you know, thank you. Like you're my brothers and my sisters in this program. I'm so grateful for this AA family that I've found. And I don't have to live in, you know, the past and living in the past is detrimental to my well-being and my sobriety. I just cannot go back there. You know, we do not wish to shut the doors on it, but we, you know, because I do have a good life and I have a lot of joy and happiness. And I'm going to more and more meetings. I'm going to adult children of alcoholics. And I love, you know, and I'm going back to traditional meetings because I need people around me. Like the Zoomers are great, but I can't drive down to California and or New York City or wherever the hell you guys are. And I'll stop now. I think I talk too much. I always worry. But anyway, thank you for everybody here. Thank you. I wish you another 24 and thank you for my sobriety.
Thank you, Kathleen. And no, you never talk too much. I don't think I realized you're a nurse. So I guess that's one more thing I love about you. And Victoria is not that far from me in Washington. So come on down. Actually, I'll go to Victoria. I love Victoria. So, that leaves our lovely Lil, but technically Kathleen should call Lil.
Okay. Hey, Lil, I choose you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Kathleen and Tommy. And thank this wonderful group of sober people. My name is Lil. I am an alcoholic by trade But I choose not to drink today because it would just be so messy if I started drinking. And I would basically destroy everything that I created. My sober date is August 5th, 1988. And I got sober in Manhattan with this one particular group called Women Together, which is probably the oldest lesbian AA group possibly in the country. And they're celebrating like 50 years coming up soon or something like that. But I grew up in Sacramento and I lived in San Francisco for the longest time. That's why when I saw Kenji's background, I got very delighted. It's interesting about steering my sobriety towards secular. After all those years, like something like I joined Share What Works with You just about a year ago. And all that time, those 30 plus years, I was going to very traditional meetings, very traditional, follow the book step meetings. And there was always that part of me that says, this ain't right. I'm not getting it. The Women Together group, they read How It Works in the last three lines of, we have three pertinent ideas, that you got to follow, you got to find a higher power or you're done for. And they just keep reading it and doing it and doing it pretty much out of habit, I do believe. And I had to leave them. And this is a group that has supported me. Leave the AA group, but not the people. That's a whole, one sometimes has to spin and turn and go the other direction in order to accomplish sobriety. That's my feeling. Sometimes it has to be drastic, like coming into the rooms was drastic. I always wonder why I need to time myself here, please, because I can't go on. Is that I always wondered why I managed to stay sober. I grew up in an environment, my parents were both Spanish speaking. They weren't particularly well educated. My father was a laborer. My mother worked in a cannery in Sacramento. I had one brother, much, much older than me. And I wasn't allowed to speak Spanish in my household, even though they could freely speak Spanish amongst themselves. So I could kind of understand it, but I couldn't speak it because they wanted me to benefit from societies in order to accomplish something. You just speak English. And they thought that was the start of it. I even back then, I said, what's going on here? And then other kids who spoke Spanish, I felt ostracized from their groups and blah, blah, blah. And I always questioned my background and my father would make fun of my mother for her Indianness because her grandmother looks very Indian and she just came off the some mesa in Arizona. And I'm starting to look more like my grandmother. So I grew up wondering, what the hell is my true background? What's going on here? I always questioned that. I was a very silent, curious person. And it turns out that I have over 54%, I did the ancestry thing, 54% Native American. Aha, I say. And I remember being at one of the Women Together meetings, and I qualified and they said, would you like to close the meeting? I thought, well, why don't I try this? And so I said, instead of God, I said, Great Spirit. And I felt like it threw people off for one thing. And I felt like a fraud. I said, why do I feel like a fraud? My ancestral blah, blah, blah would say, yeah, applaud that. And the reason why, because I wasn't taught to think in terms of a power like that, like the Great Spirit, Mother Earth and all that. So I always wondered about that. And I realized that I wasn't in tune. It wasn't my music, the religious aspect of AA and also of this society. Growing up in California, they teach you about Father Junipero Serra, who got all these Indians to build all these missions along the California coast. I go, something's wrong here. And I was a little kid and I still felt something's not right. Why do this? Why? And so I grew up with that sort of uncomfortableness I had, and even through going to the meetings, I felt so like, there they go again, talking as if they know God or something, or they understand God's will. Like, really? You know, God spoke to you? What kind of voice does he or she have? You know, and so I was very, very suspicious. And then when they say, you got to get a higher power, and people would come up to me and try to say, well, what if you think of it this way? What if you read this book? What if you try this? And I realized those are all tricks that the colonists gave to everybody. You know, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You know, come over to our side. We'll treat you better if you do. And I just sort of see this whole thing, and particularly in the steps, as a form of converting, you know, people into a Christian. You know, my mother practiced Catholicism, I suppose. She had enough crucifixes all over the house and little saints that she would buy here and there. And, you know, when she would go to the church and the little shop they had, you know, but I don't know if she really understood what that meant for her, because she never really spoke about it. And that's the thing with how I see it with faith and religion, that people don't really speak about it and can really, you know, describe it. And in sobriety, I learned to practice Qigong, which is a form of it's a Chinese energy form, much like Tai Chi is. And that seemed to suit me better because it wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't about a sky daddy in the sky or anything. It was about connecting. And the thing that gets me about step meetings, traditional step meetings, when I read the steps, is that for me, there isn't great healing in the step work. The great healing comes from going to fellowship, going to meetings, listening to how you handle your day, and you listening to see how I handle my day. I learned how to pay a bill on time by coming to meetings. I learned how to not drink when I was invited to a party that I didn't know if alcohol was going to be there. I learned how to show up on time. I learned how to go to work on time and dress correctly. I, you know, just so many things. I learned how to make a decision on my own that was my decision and not influenced by a power greater than myself. I do believe a power that's it exists in me as I believe it exists in each of you and everybody. And through all of this, I've learned to create new value for myself, to appreciate my thoughts, because thoughts are extremely powerful. Words are extremely powerful. The spoken language is extremely powerful. Over and over and over again, you're taught that you got to get a higher power. You got to do this. You got to do that. So luckily COVID happened and Zoom happened, and I started filtering. I said, secular, click that button, man, all these meetings dropped down. And I was attracted, of course, to the name, Share What Works For You. And that just, I dug my heels into this particular meeting 3 times a week, and the Friday evening meeting. I was offered, or it was presented to me, that you can think any way you want to, Lil. You are sober. You've been sober for a while. You know, and I always say that my sobriety is only an arm length away. Depends how I bend my elbow and what's in my hand. So my sobriety is just that. It's a day at a time. It's actually no big deal, because all I have is today. I woke up today. You know, I'm dealing with today. And I imagine only good things can happen, because, you know, going to Tommy's, you know, non-traditional meeting, it's a great way to discuss the traditional meeting and also the new way of looking at something. Kathleen, Marsha, Jesse, and other people here's names. I'm sorry if I don't say your name, but, you know, I really care about our fellowship, because this is where the healing is. Not looking back to me, not looking back at all the wrongs I've done, and you know, I own up to so much. And it's not about, you know, taking a look in the future for what I want things to be, you know, hey, you know, whatever. But the only time I have, the only time that's really precious is right now at this moment. I'm talking to a bunch of squares, it appears, with people. But I know it's more than that. It's amazing how the fellowship works to, I don't know, bolster us, to make us who we are. And so we can become who we really are on the inside with all these crazy filters out there about higher power and you got to do this, you got to do that. And I see got about a minute to wrap it up. And I am seeking the freedom to be who I am without people telling me what I ought to believe. Can you get that? I mean, and no one here is going to say, well, you got to believe in something. I believe in the power of all of you to believe in the power in me. You know, it's we're here together because we have a very debilitating, dangerous relationship with alcohol. And we're not here because we're showboating our sobriety. We're here because we need to stay sober. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Jesse.
Thank you, Lil. And I think you just basically defined why I like our group so much. It is really about not trying to make people believe something else or just talk about something else or fake it until you make it, and really defines that the only requirement to AA membership is that desire to stop drinking. And that is the thing that brings us together. So with that, I will remind you all that we have a meeting Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 6:30 a.m., Fridays at 6:30 p.m., but all of that is Pacific time. And I believe Marcia put the link in the chat. And with that, I will turn it back over to Megan, or should I be calling on?
Nope, we're good. Hands. Thank you so much. That was absolutely amazing. If you would like to comment on the speaker share or share in general, please go ahead and raise your hand, which you can find under reactions on, I think, across all devices at this point. And raise your digital hand. Margarita and Will, come on in.
Hey, all. Great to hear from the Share What Works group. I just wanted to say thank you so much for y'all being here today and giving us a taste of this group. It really is. This tradition of having our first speaker of the month meeting, I really, really love it. Members of Secular AA board or regular attendees of these meetings, I think it's great to get a blush of all these different groups. I also want to thank those in service today, Joe for hosting and Megan for chair service. And, you know, Secular AA is run on committees, and this it takes a village. And this committee, the Storytime Committee of Megan, and Joe and Marcia and Margarita, you know, we reach out to groups and invite them to come and visit with us. So if you are a member of a group that would like to be a host one of these meetings, please reach out to one of those four and let us know, because these are always a great highlight of the month for me. So anyway, thanks again, all. Appreciate y'all being here.
Thanks, Will. Come on in, Dave H.
Oh, thanks, Dave Alcoholic. This was great. I love these ICSA monthly meetings because they're always good. I don't think I've ever showed up at one and not come away from the shares feeling, oh, I don't know, I'm feeling like a better connection to this huge community of secular AA folks. I particularly like these shares and you know, one of the things, so the first two speakers, I could really connect a lot with their background, because, you know, like them, I got sober in traditional AA. I spent, you know, 25 some odd years. I stuck it out despite the God talk, despite the fact that I couldn't really connect with the whole you got to get a higher power thing, but I didn't want to get drunk again. And I knew I had to keep going in order to make that connection, in order to keep my sobriety. And I learned, you know, I got sober working the steps, working the traditional steps, and, you know, substituting where, you know, God came into it. You know, I tried turned my will and my life over to the care of AA, not some higher power. There was no third chair, sitting there empty for my fifth step. There was just me and my sponsor in the front seat of his car, that basic form of working the steps was what dragged me out of the past into the person that I am today, helped me get a handle on the person that I was, the issues in my life, gave me an awareness of keeping track of my behaviors as I go through life and being willing to correct ones that are problematic, doing what I can to repair the damage of the past. I don't know, the community, that's really kind of formed the foundation of the program I have today. And I don't go back and redo those steps because I've done them, but they give me a basis to continue to live my life. And I was hearing that from both Tommy and Kathleen. And the thing that I heard from Lil made me think of there's a line from We Agnostics that I had out here, that dreaded chapter that everyone hates, and I hate it too. But Jeb always quotes this, which is on page 55 of the Big Book. He says, "We found the great reality deep within us, and the last analysis, it is only there that it may be found." And so the higher power is here. It's not up in the sky somewhere floating around. It's the Buddhists talk about, that Buddha nature that's within all of us. And I really connect with that, the traditional French Canadian Roman Catholic community that is central New Hampshire. It's kind of hard to find people that I could connect with around that. But listening to people in these secular meetings, I hear that, and I hear lots of other stuff as well that makes me think and makes me just makes me a better person. I just want to express my gratitude for you guys that spoke today and for this community in general. So thanks.
Thank you for sharing. Come on in, Kenji.
Hi, everybody. Kenji, addict, alcoholic, human in recovery. So when I saw the poster that Joe has behind him there for this meeting, I thought, California, wait a minute, I'm in California and I didn't get invited. And then I found out to Share What You Works For You is a group in Southern California. And it's also a group I've never been to because I don't think I've ever been to a meeting at 6:30 a.m. I'm in the Pacific time zone and doubt I ever will. I've been attending the Writing the Big Book study meeting where they read Writing the Big Book by Bill Schauberg about the actual history of early AA, which is quite a bit different than the stories that you hear in a lot of meetings. They're about to do another start again from the beginning of the book and go through it, but it's going to be on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific. I'm really loving that meeting, and I will try to be there, but I mean, setting my alarm clock for 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and I'm still tend to be a night owl, so that's going to be ouch. We'll see how I do with that. Well, I think of Altadena. So I got sober in Southern California in the LA area. Early in sobriety, I used to take the LA County meeting directory and flip through it, kind of letting my fingers do the walking. And I saw a meeting, I think it was maybe on Saturday mornings, that was that the instruction said, drive to the end of this road, park near the ranger station, and then look for us by the picnic tables. And I thought, park by the ranger station and walk to the picnic tables? That sounds interesting. And in fact, it was a really good meeting that was outdoors in this, I don't remember whether it was state park or national park. I don't remember what the park was it was in, but it was a pretty cool meeting. It's really good being sober, and it's good having settled into my own take on the steps and the literature. I'm not a big book hater. And actually, I was in a book study maybe a couple of years ago where we read We Agnostics once again. And I found myself reading it and thinking, I don't really, I mean, I see that there's a little bit of misunderstanding and condescension in it, but I don't see what I got so riled up about, because there's also a lot of really good nuggets in that chapter. At least that's how it struck me. Yeah, finding my own kind of less religiosity prone take on the steps and the literature. I find myself at peace with the traditional literature and also enjoying our whole new bookshelf of secular recovery literature. And it's so interesting. I remember the first secular meeting on Zoom I went to was a meeting that used to be my home group way back in the 80s, the Friday night We Agnostics group in Hollywood, which is now says Les Feliz. And it actually was not continuous from that meeting, but it really is the successor to that old in-person meeting. And they were talking about books in the meeting, and they were talking about more than two books. And I found myself frantically scribbling notes about what book was that and what book was that. And it was so exciting. It's still kind of exciting in secular AA to be to just hear the wide range of viewpoints, not kind of buried under the same old dogma that you hear over and over again. Lately, I've come to realize that not only in the secular world, but in the mainstream AA world too, where I got sober, there was a lot of emphasis on the big book. I've come to realize that wasn't necessarily the case everywhere. I mean, I know I've heard Joe say that he was only dimly aware of the big book in his first decade of sobriety and probably didn't crack the book until he was more than a decade sober. And I thought, well, that sounds really weird. And he probably doesn't remember, misremembers. And in this history, AA history group that I've participated in these days, I'm hearing that from a bunch of different people in some of them in the UK, some of them in different parts of the US, that I guess what the traditional literature, where people's focus is in the literature, varied from place to place. Here in California, both Southern California and now up here in Northern California, mainstream A is very much big book. You know, you start a relationship with a sponsor by reading the big book out loud to each other. That's just how they do it here. Probably not everybody does it, but that's generally how it's done. There are a lot more regional differences, and I guess differences over time. It's really been eye-opening to, in secular AA, to realize it's even a huger variation of how people stay sober. It's clearly people are staying sober here, and they have good lives. And there's a lot to be inspired by here from people that work the steps and people who don't, people who know the literature and people who couldn't care less about it. And that's taken some adjustment in my head, because part of me goes, no, AA is AA. AA is whatever you want to make of it, just like higher power is whatever I think it is. That can be a little discomforting at times, and it's also really inspiring at times. Thanks.
Thanks, Kenji. Before we move forward, Jeb, would you like to come in and tell us about the Zoom conference, please?
Well, thanks, Megan. Yeah, my name is Jeb. I'm a grateful recovered addict alcoholic. We know the board of secular AA did approve having an annual, at least again this year, a virtual conference of secular AA. And this will take place sometime in the fall. The committee is still forming. We have, I think, 12 members now who volunteered to serve and working on how many days it's going to be, a theme for the conference, and what we're going to have as far as panels and speakers. And we invite suggestions for things. We learned a lot from the conference last year, and we have some good tech people to help us manage all of that. I have postponed having the first meeting until we got all of these time changes out of the way, because one of the first things we need to do is we need to set a time that is somewhat convenient for different parts of the fellowship, so that it can be a truly international conference, unlike in-person meetings. Although the in-person conference is planned for 2024, is hopefully going to be a hybrid conference. At least some of it will be events that we can we can attend and participate in online. That's a huge challenge and beyond my pay grade. But this one this year, because we have several people from last year's committee working on it, should be a success. Substantially easier put together than last year's, because we learned so much from our mistakes last year, and we learned so much about what is really needed and effective. So I'll hopefully have some sort of report by the beginning of next month. And thanks for asking, Megan, and thanks for your wonderful service.
Thanks, Jeb. Yeah, if you didn't get the opportunity to come last year, the recordings from it are in the links that Joe has been posting for all the different ICSA stuff. So come on in, Tim.
I'm Tim, person with a variety of addictive brain disorders. Alcohol was my most difficult one. I'd like to say a big thank you to all the people that spoke today. I spent some time on a vacation in Victoria, and it's a beautiful place, and also a few vacation trips to Vancouver and Toronto. So Canada's a wonderful civilized place, more civilized than the United States. So still remember fondly the high tea we had in Victoria. And we used to have a British tea room here in Chattanooga, but I think it lasted quite a few years, and somehow rents went too high or something. It's no longer there, so I still miss that too. I'm grateful that Chattanooga has an in-person, you know, secular meeting called We Agnostics. I'm very fortunate that a couple friends started that probably 6 or 7 years ago, which was before I got sober 6 years ago. But unfortunately, I did not know that secular meeting existed until I had been slogging through traditional AA and managing to stay sober for about a year, year and a half, and found the secular meeting on the list. I'm grateful that our secular meeting has actually grown here in Chattanooga. Chattanooga is like quite a bit of the Southeast. Meetings did not shut down, at least not all meetings shut down. And so our secular meeting continued, although with my risk for my wife with COVID, I did not attend for about a year or two. So that's where I found all of the secular online too. So I'm grateful that our in-person meeting here in Chattanooga has grown to meeting 5 days a week at noon. So I'm grateful that we have that, and I hope that more places maybe including Victoria and Toronto and other places have more in-person meetings too. Thank you for all your support.
Thank you for sharing. Eugene, come on in, darling.
Thanks. I'm Eugene. I'm an alcoholic, and thanks for having the meeting. I happened to be out in a pub earlier tonight, and I was playing some music, and it really had a bad effect on me. There was one guy drunk, and he was taken over, and I got the sudden need to leave. You know, it's great. It's great. The one big thing I learned in my sobriety is that when I leave, the party doesn't stop and the lights don't dim. So I was able to put my stuff away. But I was actually disturbed by it. It's like the bit in the Desiderata where they said, talk to you about going into placid, quiet places. And it was the very opposite of that. It was like a vexation to my spirit to stay. So I had to leave. And it was really nice to come in here and hear Tommy sharing and Lillian and everybody else. It calmed down my molecules. That's what I'm trying to say. I got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous in Ireland, of all places, ate alive with religion. But I had the gift of desperation, and I was able to stay under all and every circumstance. And I never identified with a kind and loving God or personal higher power or somebody who drove you home when you were drunk. It always seemed very stupid and silly to me. And I used to say that at meetings, that it didn't make me the most popular man in the room. I've done it in Florida as well. Florida is very Southern Baptist, and there's only one way. And I spoke in California like that too, telling people I'm uncomfortable with all this stuff. I'm uncomfortable with the jargon. I'm uncomfortable with the dogma. I just like to stay in Alcoholics Anonymous and share with other alcoholics and get some sort of common power. And Dave in Concord, I spent a little while up in Hillsborough, and went to meetings up around there. So I know what it feels like to be surrounded by people who know the way to get sober for everybody. And I was able to stay at those meetings. And I challenged, they were getting mixed up between Catholic retreats, being Catholic retreats were being mentioned at the meeting, you know. And I said, hang on a minute, no, that's against the traditions. We don't have any affiliation with outside things, and the Catholic Church is outside. So I wasn't very popular, but I kept going anyway. And just for anybody who's fairly new, you know, it's possible to survive in that stuff, but it's best for me to be with like-minded people if possible. And Zoom has given me the ability to do that. I rarely go to local meetings now because, first of all, people speak too long. And secondly, it's a lot of that sort of stuff. You know, they start talking all the jargon. And I start, you know, daydreaming and designing things in my mind just to put in time when they're taking up my mental space. So I don't have to do as much of that as I used to, and it's wonderful. I'll be celebrating 45 years clean and sober in 3 weeks' time. And I'm really grateful to all the fellowships I went to, even the lads down in Florida and the people up in New Hampshire. And, you know, I got something from all of it. It's the distilled essence of one alcoholic shared with another. I feel better, you know. And I got a lot of identification today from coming in here, and I feel better. My molecules are calm again. It's wonderful. I don't have to take anything from a doctor, or I don't have to take a Xanax or anything like that. Just come to a meeting and I calm down. Thanks, everybody. Nice to see you, Joe.
Thanks for sharing. We can close out and move on to fellowship. Yes, we meet once a month.